If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning back to 1 Kings chapter 8. As this morning we conclude our study of the house of God as reflected in Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the first temple. Now his prayer has illustrated that the house of God has always been a vital place for approaching God in prayer, for following God in righteousness, for crying out to God for forgiveness, for discovering the possibility of restoration, for seeking relief and help in life's afflictions, for experiencing and extending God's gracious welcome, for drawing strength for life's battles, for being transformed through God's grace in repentance, and for experiencing spiritual renewal. The house of God is a wonderful place for encountering God, for walking with God, and for experiencing God's gracious provision in and for all of life's needs. The people in Solomon's day, and we today, desperately need such a place. Now, last time we looked at verse 61, where Solomon challenged the people with these words: "Let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." The dedication of the temple was a time of great joy and celebration, a time of renewal at a spectacular building with lavish services. No doubt the people were encouraged. They were inspired. They were moved to devote themselves wholeheartedly to the Lord. And then Solomon added that phrase at the end of verse 61, "Be devoted as at this day." Be wholly devoted as at this day. It was as if Solomon knew that dedication is hard to sustain. Like eating right or exercising regularly, spiritual devotion can be hard to maintain. We may go to summer camp, but come back to a regular routine. We may have a lofty spiritual encounter, but then come down from that high. We may begin well and give ourselves in good intentions, but life brings countless distractions, discouragements, and temptations. So how can wholehearted dedication be sustained? I think we have some hints in the verses that follow. We pick up this morning in chapter 8 of 1 Kings, verses 62 through 66. It says, "Now the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. Solomon offered for the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the sons of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, because there he offered the burnt offering and the grain offering and the fat of the peace offerings. For the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to hold the burnt offerings and the grain offerings and the fat of the peace offerings. So Solomon observed the feast at that time, and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt, before the Lord our God for 7 days and seven more days, even 14 days. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king. Then they went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had shown to David his servant and to Israel his people." The house of God is a place of dedication, a place to help us express and sustain wholehearted devotion to the Lord. And as a place of dedication, the house of God provides a place where God's people gather. In this place, we come together before God. Verse 65 depicts the king and all the people coming together as an expression of their devotion to the Lord. Verse 65 says, "So Solomon observed the feast at that time, and all Israel with him, a great assembly, from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt." This was a great, or as some versions have it, a vast assembly of God's people. All Israel participated. You know, there is something empowering about gathering together in the name of the Lord. Such a gathering reflects a clear purpose and provides encouraging support. I mean, when it comes to dedication, any kind of human support tends to be helpful. That's why we may enlist a workout buddy, a diet friend, or an accountability partner. I'll tell you, there have been many times, that the only reason I showed up for Thursday night basketball was because I had the key. And I knew other people might be there expecting to play. But there is something even more powerful and encouraging about the coming together of God's people in a spirit united in a common dependence on and devotion to our God. And verse 65 depicts that wonderful gathering. A gathering of people from Hamath, a region to the far north, to the Wadi of Egypt in the far south. In verse 65, the language describes the widest possible extent and the farthest borders of Israel's possession in the promised land, from the far north to the deep south. They came together from all over to gather at the house of God. Now this morning, we come together from all over the city of Brownwood, from Early, from Bangs, from Blanket, from Zephyr, from Comanche. We welcome college students and guests from all over the state and beyond. And we do so because we all desperately need a place to come together, a place to demonstrate, to nurture, and to maintain that devotion to God. And in this place, we take time with God. Verse 65 describes a week-long dedication of the temple that was then followed by a week-long celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. So they spent 2 weeks together at the house of God. Now we know that life can get busy. And there are times when it can get so busy that God is increasingly crowded out. But the house of God calls us back to God. It leads us to express our devotion to God. And I've heard it said, how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. You spell love with time. Because we make time, give time, sacrifice time, and devote time to what is truly important to us. So the house of God is a place where God's people gather to demonstrate, nurture, and maintain a spirit of dedication. And as a place of dedication, the house of God provides a place where devotion is expressed. You know, when we think about love and devotion, they are invisible. They are unseen. They are mere concepts. But they are expressed. There is evidence. In fact, in this place, We express our devotion in concrete ways. Now notice that in addition to the time they spent at God's house, notice what they did in verses 62 and 63. The king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. Solomon offered for the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the sons of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. Notice that Solomon's dedicatory prayer was followed by a magnificent offering in the form of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Now, those sacrifices were numerous and costly. I mean, after all, that was their livelihood. That was their source of wealth and survival. And yet, the offerings were so numerous, Solomon had to consecrate the middle of the courtyard because the typical area was way too small to accommodate all the sacrifices that were being made. See, devotion is not invisible. It is evident. It bears fruit. When someone speaks of a person's devotion to a nation, to their family, to their church or community, it is always expressed by the service that is rendered and by the sacrifices that are made. And I want to commend you as a church. Your devotion to this place is evident. In just a year of pledges toward our Rise and Build building project, we have over $1.5 million pledged. Over half a million already collected. Another $250,000 that was given toward the purchase of the funeral home. And through all of that, our budget has kept pace with expenditures even here at the end of the summer. That's evidence of devotion. And in addition, the faithfulness of so many to participate, to gather in this place faithfully, and to serve in different ways, from singing in the choir to working in sound and media. From teaching small groups to serving on committees and teams, devotion is evident. And in this place, we express devotion as a regular practice. In verse 64, the burnt offerings and cereal offerings likely refer to the beginning of the sacrifices, which became part of the normal routine for daily practice at the temple going forward. This marked not simply a great celebration, but the beginning of regular worship. It's a reminder that regular patterns, regular practices, regular observances are vital for nurturing and maintaining devotion to the Lord. You know, an athlete who quits training will lose muscle mass and cardio very quickly. So too our spiritual lives. We digress without proper disciplines and regular practices. Regular patterns and practices not only express devotion, they work to nurture and maintain a spirit of devotion. See, the house of God provides a place where devotion is expressed. And as a place of dedication, the house of God provides a place where joy is experienced. In this place, we rejoice in the goodness of our God. In verse 66, the people went away with joy. And I love how it's described. It says, on the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king. Then they went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had shown to David, his servant, and to Israel, his people. This place invites us to share in and remember God's blessings, past and present. See, David is mentioned here because the completion of the temple was the fulfillment of God's promise to him. So they pause to think about the faithfulness of God, to reflect on it, to remember it, to celebrate it. They sang about it. And then I'm sure as they feasted, they recognized it. In this place, we recall the history of God's faithfulness. We sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," because we also experience it as a present reality in our own lives. And in this place, we rejoice in our relationship with the Lord. The phrase "glad of heart" can also be translated "happy hearts." And it refers to the pleasure, the contentment, the peace, and the joy which stems from a covenant relationship, a personal relationship with God. And that kind of focus takes our eyes off of every tendency to murmur and complain as we move our focus to who God is and what God has done. You know, I can't help but wonder if during the celebration at the temple, if some of the meat at the feast may have been a little overcooked, maybe a little chewy and tough, or if the smell of the sacrifices was a bit foul, or if some of the music at times was just a little too loud, or if parts of the temple got too congested, or after reading Solomon's prayer, if some thought, man, that was way too long. You know, the people could have focused on anything petty and trivial to complain, but instead they focused on the goodness and faithfulness of their God. And because of that, verse 66 tells us they went away joyful and with happy hearts. How do you typically leave this place? Now, there are times we should leave convicted. There are times we should leave disturbed. There are times we should leave uncomfortable. But if we deal with God, reflect on God, worship God, and listen to God, we should be able to go away with joyful and happy hearts for all the goodness that God has shown to us. You know, it's far too easy to forget the goodness of God and to neglect our commitments. But the concept of dedication is not just about holding an opening celebration. It is setting aside something or someone for a particular purpose. A dedication is a beginning. A baby dedication marks the beginning of the work for the parents. A baptism marks the beginning of a life that is wholly dedicated to the Lord. The dedication of a building, like the temple, marks the beginning of its intended purpose. And the dedication of the temple was a great day in the life of God's people, an opportunity for them to dedicate the temple and themselves to the Lord. And the house of God continues to serve as a place of dedication, a place where God's people gather, where devotion to God is expressed, and where joy is experienced. Now, God cannot be contained. We know that. But the house of God proclaims to the world, God is here. God is available. God is present. And God can help, can guide, restore, forgive, assist, welcome, strengthen, instruct, lead, transform, renew, save, and use us in this world. God has a plan for us, a purpose for us, individually and collectively. And he invites us to join him, to follow him, to experience grace and help from him, and ultimately to be used of him. And because of that, this is an awesome, awesome place. The purpose for which it exists, the people who have gathered here, the work that has been done here through the years, the people who continue to gather in this place, the work it continues to do, the needs it continues to meet. There is no place like the church. There is no place like this church with a people, calling, gifting, and purpose all its own. Now, don't get me wrong. God can use any place. God has used universities, encampments, organizations, homes, seminaries, parks, deer blinds, closets. He's used all of those places in my life. And they can all be wonderful places of encountering and hearing from God. But God often uses this place, his house. A place constructed, designated, and dedicated for his purposes, week in and week out. Life-changing grace and desperately needed help is found when we come to this place to seek the Lord. And yet, have you noticed that in our day, many people are dropping out? Many people are drifting away. Many people are even abandoning the church. Some who profess to believe in Jesus have little or no connection to a local church. In fact, Lifeway Research has found that in the recent past, here in the United States, more Protestant churches have closed than opened. Their research indicated that in 2024, 3,800 Protestant churches opened while 4,000 closed their doors. In 2019, 3,000 churches were opened when 4,500 closed their doors. Now, in our travels, Kay and I have driven through towns and seen closed and dilapidated churches. There are some in our own community. And where churches have closed or abandoned, boarded up or fallen down, the light dims. Hope dwindles. Life is diminished. No invitation can be extended. And people have no place to go. And what fills that space left by the church? Depression, increased anxiety, hopelessness, despair, drug and alcohol abuse, tension and conflict, maliciousness and growing wickedness. You see, without the house of God, there is brokenness without restoration, helplessness without hope, guilt without grace, affliction without relief, battles without strength, seeking without finding, searching without satisfaction, and emptiness without being filled. Our culture today and our world needs the church like never before. May we give ourselves to ensure that this place is increasingly what it is meant to be and provides what it is intended to provide. Now, this year, we celebrated 150 years of ministry at First Baptist Church. I hope we'll do our part to see that it's set up for 150 more. Now, if you're a member here this morning, what are you doing to maintain, to express your devotion to the Lord? Can you say your heart is wholly devoted to the Lord? Do you know the joy of experiencing and celebrating God's goodness? And do you serve the Lord and His church with a happy heart? With that joy that verse 66 depicts. Perhaps this morning as a church member, God is calling you to renewed devotion to God and this place. Say, God, I have received so much from this place, from the people here. It's time for me to pass that on to the next generation to be sure it's here for those who come after us. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're seeking a church home, a place to express and nurture that dedication to the Lord. But we need two things to grow in dedication. We need a place and we need other people. We need regular practices and we need the support of community. And maybe this morning God is calling you to partner with us. Say, we need that. We need to be a part of that. We need to be a part of what God is seeking to do in our lives and in the lives of others. And we do that through a fellowship of faith. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you've never called out to God for salvation, to depend upon His goodness and faithfulness to cover your sins, to lead you to new and eternal life. And maybe this morning God is moving in your heart for the first time. Say, God, I need you. I want to walk from this day forward with you in faith and dependence. Walk with you in devotion, knowing that you love me. You have provided for me in Christ Jesus, and you will never leave or forsake me. And maybe this morning God is calling you to that point of decision. However God may be leading you to respond this morning, whether here at the front or there in your pew, I invite you to do so as John comes to lead us in our hymn of invitation this morning. Would you stand together as we sing, I Surrender All.